How y'all doing? Hey, my name is Jonathan, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
my sobriety date is August 19, 2010. And yeah, it's a trip, because when I first came to AA, nobody really understand a word I was saying, but now they act, now they're asking me to speak, so it's crazy. I had my first dream when I was 14 years old. You know, I grew up in projects. I was like basically a ghetto nerd, and then I'll never forget this day, because you know, I had a scholarship to go to college. I was a freshman in high school on a varsity football team. I got done asking like the hottest chick out in my freshman class out, and she said yes. Then when I was coming home, and my mom was banging on the bathroom door, and when my stepfather came out, he was high. So right there, that crushed me, because all these goals, because my father died when I was 6 years old of AIDS, because he fell victim to his addiction. So I saw my hero, basically this dude that installed these principles and morals in me. So I just dropped my book bag, ran to the streets. So I was chopping up with the homeboys, and I was quiet. And then usually I'm like loud, goofy, you know what I'm saying, with the fellas. So my homeboy Lee popped this big old bottle of 151. I was like, yo, hit this, son. I was like, whatever, B. So I hit it, and I ain't gonna lie, the first time I hit that 151, you know, I got this warm sensation. I felt like Popeye with that spinach. I was like, okay, yo. You know what I mean? I was feeling good, so I was like, boom. Because I had all these emotions and all these feelings inside of me that I didn't know how to express them. So from that day on, it was on like Donkey Kong, you know, every day. You know, every day I started sipping and drinking. I ended up losing my scholarship. I got kicked off the football team. And I was just drinking, man. I ain't care about nothing and nobody. I went into this dark cold, this dark place where every day I was getting drunk. I was going to school, didn't care. I started dissing myself up from my family, because alcohol for me was, I hated to feel this feeling of abandonment, of hurt and pain. So I ain't like to feel that way. So for me, the alcohol gave me that juice, and I wish I could say, man, I have fun drinking, but for me, I became a violent individual, you know, because I had all this pain and this frustration, and I didn't know how to release them. So when I started drinking, man, I thought I was Superman, and I love to fight big dudes, 6'4", 6'3", cop diesel, 275, muscle head. I'm like, yeah, okay, do give me that wrong look, I'm going to pop him in his face, bam. And then sometimes I win, sometimes I wake up the next day, ask my homeboy, yo, what happened? It was like, yo, you was Clark Kent, kid, you got your behind whoop. I was like, word. I was like, all right, whatever, just where that bottle at. And then my first encounter with death, I was 16 years old. I was in the streets by then, you know, doing the street stuff, hustling, robbing, whatever. So I had to go to court, then I know I was going to get locked up. So my homeboy's like, yo, we got to have a party for you. I was like, word up, I'm in. So we started drinking. And then this dude challenged me, talking about, yo, you can't down this Jack Daniels. I was like, what? Yo, give me my bottle. I downed like half of it, like in two gulps. Now the rest of it is hearsay, got blacked out. But they told me after that, I ended up, you know what I'm saying, smashing the bottle over dude's face. We ended up beefing him. I had a bottle of Crown Royal to the head. I had a 12-pack of Heineken Dolo. And then I puked in the jacuzzi, which is crazy because I don't like water because I can't swim, so I don't know how I ended up there, you know. But then they dropped me off at the house, and then I guess I was shaking and stuff like that, and my grandma just came down from Puerto Rico, so she panicked, called the police and all that, and then I don't know the limit was, but they told my grandmother that if you would have waited 5 more minutes, that your grandson would have been dead. So I guess I had to be 3 cups of charcoal liquid. So I woke up next day with black tea, black dookie, you know what I'm saying? I had an apron on, with little sticky things on, a banging headache. But I'm like, yo, man, I need to get drunk. So I put on some pants, some kicks, and I'm walking down the block with the apron on still. I saw my homeboys. They all gave me that look of, yo, what's wrong with you, son? I'm like, yo, where that bottle at? I need that drink. So I started drinking, and from that day on, that's how it was for me. You know, every day I get drunk and drunk. I started distancing myself from my family, you know what I mean? I moved out of my house when I was 17 years old, because by then I got kicked out of school and no schools wanted me from Hillsborough to up north. It was like, yo, we can't handle this dude. So and my mom gave me an ultimatum, like, yo, you get your GED and get a real job or you can move out. I'm like, word, I'm outie. Grabbed the first grandma's stuff and I went back up north. And then that's how it was for me, you know. I was the pain, like I said, man, I was in so much pain, misery. I got to a point where I wanted to kill myself, but I ain't had the courage to blast myself. So for me, I started beefing wars in the streets, you know, with anybody. Yo, you want it? Let's go get it in. Hopefully they pull the trigger and blast me so I don't have to deal with life, because life was kicking my behind. You know what I mean? So it was just rough for me. Then I didn't know what AA and all this stuff was. Like, I was court ordered to go, but I never went. You know what I mean? I had my clientele go for me and get that piece of paper signed. Then I give them a little discount when they come back to me. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Because I thought, for real, I thought AA was a bunch of old heads, you know what I'm saying, suckers just sitting there crying about their problems and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't got time for that business. So I go through all, and then it's crazy how I came to AA, because I came down here in August on a two-week vacation, because I went like, I haven't seen my family in like 3 years. So my mom and my brother and sister really wanted to see me, so I was like, you know, I'm coming down for 2 weeks. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to be good. I'm going to drink it and, you know what I'm saying, do my stuff at the crib so I don't get arrested and get in trouble. So on the night before I'm supposed to go out, me and my brother had to go watch the Sweet Bay because racetrack, I couldn't go to racetrack because I tried the Famous Four Locals the night before, and then they didn't want to sell me no beer. I was like, why on out? So they put a little trust. They was like, yo, you can never come back. I was like, man, whatever, B. So we started walking. Yeah, I'm on Del Mabry and Waters. Me and my brother, we cross the street and we get pulled over jaywalking by the Sheriff Green team. I'm like, yo, son, what's the problem, B? He's like, oh, I'm not from, this ain't up north. I'm like, all right, whatever, B. Here's my ID, one warrant, give me my ticket so I can go get tipsy. Because I'm leaving the next day. All of a sudden, two more police come, whoop, whoop, whoop. I'm like, man, what's this, cops? You know what I mean? But then I'm thinking, you know, a cop just got killed like a couple months back, so maybe they tripping and whatnot. So I say, yo, you got a warrant. I'm like, warrant for what? He like, in 07. I'm like, 07? I'm like, what you talking about, B? Like, for cannabis. I'm like, cannabis, son? What's that, weed? I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? So I get arrested and stuff, so I'm in the back of the cop car, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. In 07, when I came down here on my last vacation, you know what I'm saying, I got, I guess, pulled over, like, in trouble for possession of that stuff, but then this was in Selfish Springs in the hood, so they got a call where they had to go deal with something else, so they gave me a citation, but I got shmammered later on that night, so that piece of paper just disappeared, and I went back up north. So then I'm sitting in jail, you know, if you ever go to booking, if you go to booking after 12 o'clock, you don't see the judge until the next day, so I'm trying to get bail. I'm like, yo, I'm about to get bail and bounce, because I ain't with this right here. So then I try to go get bail. The lady said $5,000. I'm like, yo, what? $5,000 for a misdemeanor? I'm like, yo, y'all tripping down here, son. And then I'm like, yo, I don't got $5,000. I got like $500. So I'm stuck. I'm like, all right, man, I'm stuck like Chuck, whatever. So the whole day in county, you know, I'm kicking it with the inmates, chopping it up. Everybody's telling me how they got caught. And I'm like, yeah, son, I got pulled over jaywalking. And they're like, damn, word. I'm like, yeah, man, only in Florida. But then later on that day, man, I'm sitting in my room by myself. You know, me and God, you know, I believe in God, but I had a little understanding where if you was poor, you was poor. If you was rich, you was rich, and he had his chosen few, and he really didn't care about you, because I went through some things that, me personally, I could handle my business, but my mother and my sisters went through some things that they shouldn't go through. And then I had an understanding, like, yo, he don't care about us. But I'm sitting on there on my bed. I'm like, yo, B, like, damn, man, 11 years in the streets, you know, since I was 14, I'm 25 years old. I've been going in and out of jails and all this prison stuff like that. So I ain't pray. I just talked to the big dude upstairs. I'm like, listen, son, if you give me a little blessing and whatnot, I'm going to do it your way. Because my 10 crack commandments ain't working, so I'm going to try it your way. You know what I mean? So I go in front of the judge the next day. I'm like, all right, B. So the lady comes up to me at the blue time. I was some acts a recovery program. I'm like, what? I'm like, yo, I'm down. She was like, yeah, but the judge got approved. I'm like, Heinrich? I'm like, damn. So I'm going to remember my face. He ain't going to let me do nothing. But he said, yeah. So then I go to act. So when he said, yeah, that's when I'm like, okay, man. And then I looked up. I was like, all right, God, I'm going to keep my word. So then I go to a little ass recovery program with an open mind, clear mental mind, stuff like that. And then I'm just sitting there thinking, like, man, so I'm sitting there. Then all of a sudden, here come Jim and Chet to speak. I'm like, yo, these white boys on AA? They all look like me, you know? They my age. So, you know, so I say, you know what? I'm going to be open-minded. So then they're speaking. And then I could relate the pain, the suffering, you know, the not fitting in. I'm like, damn, B, but they got their solution. You know what I'm saying? And that's God and his 12 steps. So I'm like, okay, boom. So Tuesday come around, my godmother Lindsay comes, Benicky and Heather and stuff. I ain't gonna lie, first thing I thought, like, okay, we got some shorties. You know what I mean? But then as soon as I thought that, I'm like, yo, these females aren't AA? I'm like, yo, these shorties in AA, what? You know, so they're speaking and stuff like that. Like Nikki and Heather speak, and I can relate. I'm like, damn, B, I understand that. Not fitting in, the problem with the family, the alcohol as your solution, but now you got these 12 steps and these guys stuff. So I come out, I do my little 10 days, I come out, then I try to do, I'm like, you know what, I got this little AA thing down pack, I don't need to do this right here. So 2 weeks pass, I'm outside arguing with God, I'm like, yo, son, I ain't got no job, I'm broke, I ain't smoke, drink, or rob nobody, where's the job at? And then one of my old homies I used to roll with comes out the blue, just comes over, and he's like, yo, man, blah, 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 like, yo, I got that medicine. He pulls out a 12-pack of Heineken. And right there, for me, that was my crossroads, because if I sip that drink, I ain't coming back, no relapse. I'm going to go pull a lick, go jack a whip, and go drive back up north. So the next day, I'm calling Jimmy Chat. I ain't get no answer. I'm like, yo, I have this book of meetings. I'm like, yo, 500 Platt Street. I'm like, yo, Mikey, where's that at, my brother? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, yo, we going to Hyde Park. Yo, we could thug it. Boop. So we finally find a place, and then I ain't gonna lie, first time in my life, I'm nervous. I don't know why. And then when I walk in, you know, I'm looking straight hood, black on black, everything for the cat, do-rag, Timberland up. I'm like, man. I'm thinking, hey, it's gonna be a small little meeting, because I come to YPG, but it's huge. It's like two main speakers. So I'm like, dang, I'm like, yo, I'm already here. My brother's gone, so I'm like, yo, I ain't got nothing to do. So I sit there, and the lady speaks. And the lady is telling her story. And this lady, man, she's been through the wars, you know. She's been molested by her brothers, her grandfather. This lady been through the streets, to the penitentiary. She has full-blown AIDS, but she's happy. She has this glow. She's talking about how she got God and the 12 steps and all that. And I ain't gonna lie, man, I was sitting back there, I got teary-eyed. I was like, you know what, I want that, I need that, man. That's what I want. So I'm outside talking by myself, dolo, like, smoking a cigarette, everybody's all happy, giving high fives, talking. I'm like, yo, these people out here are crazy. And all of a sudden, Luke and Greg come up to me, talk to me. I'm like, boom, because they don't, well, actually, the big homie, my sponsor, he's the only one that could really understand me. I'm talking slang. Everybody looks at me like, okay, what you just said? I'm like, yeah. You know? But then I met him, man, and then from that day on, man, AA had literally just saved my life, man. I've been working on these steps, and now I went from a hood dude to back to my sophisticated ghetto nerd kid again, and you know, and then I got my family back, and I got my relationships back, and every day, because of God and this program, you know, I'm back, I could deal with stuff. I know how to express my feelings now. I know how to talk with people. I know how to ask for help, you know. I know how to help other people out now. Now I'm all about giving, helping other people out. I'll get somebody my last $5, and to me, that's what to me is all about. And I gotta thank all you guys for showing that, because I learn from each and every one of you guys, whether you believe or not. I sit back and I listen and learn from everybody, and I take everything in. And I want to thank y'all and appreciate that, man, because y'all literally saved my life. Where I come from, man, ain't nobody gets sober and clean where I come from too right now. Only way you come out is in a box or in shackles. So I like to thank y'all, and of course the man upstairs, God, and the big homie and everybody. And I have a Christmas with my mom that I'm cooking, you know, the whole shit, Puerto Rican style dinner for them. And it is good, because me and my mom, we got that relationship. And it's the best thing that I talked to her today, man. She's like, no, I love you and I'm proud of you. And I broke down, because that's the first time in my life my mom ever told me that. And she actually means it. And that's, to me, I got to thank God and the AA for that, you know. Yeah, it's a struggle, but now I got a solution that's not the booze, but God and his 12 steps to go turn to. So thank y'all for letting me share. I appreciate it.